Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But joining us now, our good friend from the NFL Network, who had a report this week about Josh Rosen that really kind of generated a lot of buzz and interest, our good friend Mike Giardi. Mike, how are you, bud?
D.A., how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. And I thought it was really interesting this week that when you reported that teams had called about Josh Rosen, the Dolphins, but the Dolphins aren't ready to sell right now, that seemed to pick up a lot of steam. Yes, part of it might be just quarantine. Everything kind of picks up more steam than normal. But there does seem to be a fascination with the ballad of Josh Rosen, right?
I mean, a top 10 pick just a couple of years ago, right? And started the better part of that year in Arizona. And, they move on to Kyler Murray real quick. And he gets another start in Miami. And it doesn't happen there. Ryan Fitzpatrick sort of seizes the job from him. And I think people just look at him and see, hey, again, top 10 talent. He's got the arm. He's got the skill set. You know, I know that there have been questions about what kind of kid he is just in terms of his motivation. But if you can buy a top 10 pick at that position and now on cheap money, 3 years left in the deal, all the big money has been paid, I think it makes sense. And the flip side is I think it makes sense for Miami to sort of say, you know what? Slow your roll here. You know, you want to be in the quarterback business in this league. And if they feel like they have a chance to develop one in Rosen, you know, maybe you have to blow him out of the water.
How does he fit, though, still in Miami? I mean, why would the Dolphins hold on to him if they have the veteran in Fitzpatrick and the youngster in Tua?
I would say that with regards to Tua and the fact that obviously, even though they gave him a passing grade on the medicals, they haven't been able to actually work him out and have him around the team, that the idea that maybe Tua is still a redshirt this year would lend credence to the idea of, hey, let's stay in the Rosen business for the summer, see what happens when we get to training camp, see what he looks like. Is there another injury somewhere else? I mean, I remember the Minnesota when Teddy Bridgewater went down and they call Philadelphia, and the next thing you know, they're shipping a first-round pick to Philly for Sam Bradford. I don't know that Josh Rosen would get a first-round pick at this juncture, but, you know, you don't know. So let's see how that plays out. Let's see how he looks and how it develops. And again, where is Tua? What's Tua's situation? And for as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick was last year, we've seen Fitz go up and down, up and down, up and down. So maybe this is a downtime and maybe a potential for Rosen to just take the job for a year.
NFL Network reporter Michael Giardi joins us here on the show. So here's my concern about Josh Rosen, because I really liked him coming out of UCLA, and I thought he had a really bright future in the NFL, and yet last year all signs pointed to the Dolphins wanting Josh Rosen to win that job and to play. They obviously inserted him into the lineup. They had a young team. They were willing to lose games, and they still yanked him. They still hooked him, and they brought back in Ryan Fitzpatrick. What didn't they see from Rosen last year that they wanted to, which would have allowed him to keep the job?
I mean, obviously, decision-making was not at the highest level, 53% completion percentage, 5 picks, just the 1 touchdown. I think the other thing that's really clear when you look back at Brian Flores and the way he talked about that position and what he was getting from Fitz and what he wanted from Rosen was leadership. Guys followed Fitz. Rosen didn't have that Pied Piper thing going for him, and I think he that's something that you can learn leadership. I think you can learn how to how to lead guys. And I think Rosen wasn't there yet in Flores' mind. He wanted someone who could command that room and that huddle, and it became very clear pretty early on that they were enamored with the intangibles that Fitzy brought.
So last year really wasn't just about seeing youngsters for the Dolphins. For Brian Flores and I guess others within the organization, it was still about competing and building a culture and winning football games. So the, quote, tank for Tua thing wasn't really embraced by the organization as a whole, was it?
It's so hard when you have that concept. And look, they did break down their roster. There's no question about it. But then you're looking at all these guys that are on the roster who are trying to prove they belong. They're trying to prove they deserve a new contract, a better contract. I don't think guys get into the room and just say, "Ah, shit, this is garbage. I'm not gonna give my best." And I think that was a clear example of that for some of these guys. Somebody like Fitz, like, "Hey, I get another chance to start. This is exciting for me. I'm going to bring that energy. I'm going to bring that commitment." And does that elevate some guys around him? I think it did. I think Brian Flores makes it pretty clear, the message, you know, and I think there are some similarities from where he came from, the Patriots and the way they do business and some of the things that Brian brought to Miami. There is no hierarchy here. You go out and you earn it, and you earn it every week in practice. And if you earn it in practice, even if you're the second string guy, you might play on Sunday, or you might find some time, or you're starting to open some eyes. So I think he sort of kept that carrot in front of him all year. And I think it's a credit to him and to the guys on that team for playing hard, especially when you consider how September went for them. I mean, they were getting lit up in September, and, you know, by the end of the year, they're pretty dangerous.
Yeah. Mike Giardi joins us from the NFL Network. So it's fair to say then that despite two teams looking like they're not interested in having Rosen as their future centerpiece, maybe the Dolphins are, maybe they aren't, but there is still interest around the league on Josh Rosen. The idea that everybody has said, no, he's going to be a bust, that's, in your mind, that's false. There is interest around the league on him.
Yeah, I think that is totally false. And I think, look, every situation is different, I think, and every coach probably looks at the situation they're in and says, if I get him, I can unlock that thing that's missing, or I can help develop him. And, you know, for Josh now, this would be his third year in the league, and this will be his fourth offensive coordinator, because Miami fired their offensive coordinator after the year Chad O'Shea hired Chan Gailey. He had two OCs in his 1 year at Arizona. So again, that's a difficult thing for a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback when you continually have to change your system, and you're not, you know, hey, I'm starting to get comfortable in the system. Oh, pull the plug, new system, new team, what have you. I think a lot of times when you look at some of these younger quarterbacks, part of their success is built on where they were picked and the foundation that's been laid and how consistent the program remains. Do you have the same coach? Do you have the same OC? Is the same general manager there? I think all that stuff sort of matters.
You are based in Boston. You've worked for years in Boston. You had a front row seat for the Belichick-Brady dynasty. And the last couple of years, Tom Brady was not all that interested in working out during OTAs with the Patriots. This created quite the stir in New England. Why isn't Tom Brady with the team? Why is he working out alone? Why is he working out by himself, etc.? Now, this year we see him already down in Tampa with pads on this week, running some routes or running some plays, whatever that he's doing, even despite the quarantine measures. Do you think that this is a different Tom Brady, that he's more committed than he has been to off-season stuff like this year versus the last couple of years in New England?
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to that. And not to say that he didn't put in the work in the off-season, but I think the last couple of years in particular, he put in the work on himself and not necessarily on some of the pieces around him during the off-season. And I think what you're seeing here is, I mean, for starters, you got to learn a new offense. And I'm sure he'll have some influence, obviously, in what goes on there. But this is, and they talked about it, this is Bruce's offense, Bruce's terminology. Tom's going to come in and learn it, and then they'll be able to tweak to some of the things that Tom likes or doesn't like. And obviously, personnel-wise, you know, he sat here in New England and he said, well, I don't have to go, or I don't want to go, but I know I have Edelman. You know, I know I have James White. I know I have a few pieces that I can trust to be where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. I know that clearly from New England's vantage point, the last couple of years, him not showing up was an irritant. And they didn't feel like, especially this past year, that it put some of their younger receivers in the best position possible to succeed. I think clearly you're seeing in Tampa, a motivated Brady. I'm going to prove them wrong for not giving me the extra years, the commitment, the money, whatever I wanted. I'm going to prove them that at 43, I can still do it and do it at a high level.
Whether it is the Howard Stern interview or the appearances all over social media, or now we understand there's going to be a 9-part documentary series next year on Brady's Super Bowl appearances, it does feel like Tom is very intrigued by getting himself, his brand, whatever, out there at all possible points. Do you think that that's a different Tom Brady since he left New England?
I don't think there's any question. I think, again, you started to see that in the last couple years in Foxborough. I mean, let's think about the Tom versus Time on Facebook during a Super Bowl run, the Super Bowl that obviously ended with the loss to the Eagles, and some of the stuff that came out there, including, you know, letting Giselle be on camera, say, you know, my husband loves football and he just wants to go where he's loved and respected. I mean, that was a clear message. You know, that could have, if Tom didn't want that message to get out, Tom probably could have said to the directors and producers, hey, guys, that, but it did make it. So I think he was leaving breadcrumbs all along about, you know, some of the things that he wanted and wants to do. And clearly, the brand is as important as anything right now for him.
Who do you consider the favorite of the AFC East right now?
Yeah, I think it's Buffalo. But I think that one of the things I've come to know is with the operation in Foxborough is they're already seizing on the stuff that's being said. Buffalo has become the pick. Obviously, they had the nice year last year, get to the playoffs. They had Stephon Diggs. You know, they're ready to take that next step in everybody's mind, and you lose Brady. So, oh, it's obvious, you know, now they're the team. Well, I always caution people because, A, I think there's still plenty of talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball, left in Foxborough. And, B, I think that the coach is still the best coach in the National Football League, and he's going to use that, and he's going to remind his guys of this very thing. They don't think you're any good because Brady's not here. Like, I guess you guys had nothing to do with us winning all those games and winning Super Bowls in years past. Buffalo, what's Buffalo? You know, like, what have they done? When we saw them last, didn't we beat them? Didn't we beat them twice last year? We kind of own them. Like, don't buy into the hype. And I think it's kind of funny because Buffalo now, you get it from Sean McDermott and from Brandon Bean, like, hey, you know, it's New England until otherwise, you know, and part of that is obviously sort of take a little bit of pressure off their team, but part of it is they know they've been here before. They've seen this. They've seen different teams sort of rise up at various points during the Patriots run and not be able to overcome them, albeit with Tom Brady a quarterback, but I wouldn't sell the Patriots short just yet.
So the rest of us trying to read the Patriots is like trying to read a Ouija board. I mean, we're just basically guessing. But for you, look, you've got contacts, you've got sources, you know that place inside and out better than anybody that I know. Do you really believe that Bill Belichick looks at Jared Stidham and says, no, he's our franchise guy. We can win with him. Or is this a long play to get him to a different quarterback, either out of nowhere this season, at the end of training camp, preseason, in season, or next year's draft?
I think they like Jared Stidham. I think they like where he's at right now. Obviously, this being a different sort of offseason, probably not beneficial for any of the young quarterbacks in this league or any young player, period, especially someone who's going to potentially ascend to the throne in New England and be the guy after Brady. But, you know, in talking to people around the team and within the organization, they say all these great things about him, but the smart people in there then tell me, you know, but Mike, we can tell you all of this. These words are wonderful. We really do believe all these things about him, but until he does it and does it consistently on an NFL level, it is the great unknown. The one thing I will tell you about just their overall philosophy, though, is that they believe they can highlight guys' strengths and diminish or hide their weaknesses better than anyone. And I think you're going to see, much like with Matt Castle, when Castle took over for Brady in 2008, and granted, Castle had been in the league for a few years and in that system for a few years, but it was, they did a real nice job of sort of coaching him up and finding, hey, he's a little bit more mobile. We'll move the pocket a little bit more. Hey, he, you know, Tom like this, well, Matt doesn't like that. So that's out, you know, like let's highlight what they do. So I think when people look at it and say, well, can Stidham run the Tom Brady offense? not going to be the Tom Brady offense. It's going to be the Jared Stidham offense. And whatever that looks like, hard to say other than the fact that I do believe they like his mobility, so you'll see him move a little bit more. But I think it's going to be incumbent upon Stidham to seize the opportunity and deal with all the stuff that comes with this. And obviously, there's going to be a consistent comparison to Tom Brady, fair or unfair. Can he deal with that? That's another part of the great unknown.
As I'm sure you're picking up, he's one of the best in the business. Mike Giardi, watch him on NFL Network, read him on NFL.com, follow him on Twitter at Mike Giardi. He is all over the NFL. He's one of the best. Mike, it's always wonderful to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much. And until I talk to you next time, have a great summer.
You too, DA.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.